We had almost, I think, around over 4,000 people last night. And then tonight, this is the first of three services. We have one at 5, we have another one at 7, and we've got some crazy people coming tonight at 11 o'clock. But thank you so much for coming to Christmas Eve service at Shepherd Church. Amen. And is everybody feeling good? Is everybody feeling good? Now, last night I asked, because I'm sure there's some people, anyone here just going through a tough time, you're not having a good day? Anybody? You're just discouraged a little bit right here? Anybody else? I got some good news for you, okay? I got a picture I want to show you. This will make you feel better. Don't you just feel better already? Aren't you glad you don't live anywhere else? I mean, how many of you glad and thankful for Southern California? Glad to live in here, yeah. Yeah, we all live in here. We all love living here until, of course, April 15th, and then we can't stand a place. But on a count of three, I want you to join me in lifting up your voices to the Savior of the world with these words, and let's wish him a happy birthday, Jesus, on a count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the Lord. Come on, we got to thank him. I don't know why. There's something about just our world today and all the things that are going on that somehow we just needed to be in church this Christmas Eve more than ever before, because it's so refreshing and it is exhilarating to think about the fact that God came into this world 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby to redeem mankind, and that's why we're here, is to celebrate that event. There are many different elements or aspects of Christmas that we could talk about. We could be talking about love tonight. We could talk about giving. We could talk about hope. We could talk about salvation. We could talk about joy. Last weekend, if you were in church, I talked about the good news of Christmas. But today, I want to talk about peace. I want to bring you a message of peace that comes from Luke chapter 2. Christmas, of course, celebrates Jesus' birth, the Savior of the world, for all who will bow before him. Unfortunately, Christmas has lost some of its true meaning for so many. For those involved in the business world, Christmas has come down to sales and to profit. For children, Christmas is all about gifts and toys. For many, it's a time of family. It's a time of food. How many of you have already had too much sugar this Christmas already? You've been eating all that stuff. For some people, Christmas is just, it's a break from home, a break from school, or a break from work. It was back in 1984, during the Christmas season, Bishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa, an Anglican church leader, was in Oslo, Norway, to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. But the presentation was held up for more than an hour after an anonymous caller called the Oslo newspaper and said that there was a bomb that had been planted in the reception hall that was going to explode in 10 minutes. And although there was a careful search and it turned up absolutely nothing, it's very ironic that an award for peace could not be given because of the absence of peace. One of the fervent hopes of human beings everywhere on this planet is that somehow we would have peace on earth. But the fact that peace is still just a hope and a dream indicates that the peace that the world seeks has not yet been achieved. It isn't that the world doesn't desire peace, because we do desire peace. But it seems like every year, though, there are peace treaties that are sought after and signed. Peace talks are promised and promoted. Yet our world seems to be falling into pieces rather than securing peace. Peace will never be found in a human pact, a paper, or a program. Peace will only be found in the divine person named Jesus Christ. It was 2,700 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago, Isaiah the prophet prophesied He's looking out into the future. He doesn't know when, but he announces that one day in Isaiah 9:6, that there will be a child that will be born. To us a son will be given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And this child, this son, this baby will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and he will be called what? The Prince of Peace. Isaiah is foretelling a time when the Messiah will arrive. And when he arrives, he will be called the Prince of Peace. Then if you jump forward 700 years into the time of that first Christmas morning, Rome is conquering the world. Caesar Augustus is in charge. Families have to register in their hometown for a required census. Even back then, the government was trying to control people. Mary is pregnant. She has to travel 90 miles on a donkey. I'm sure she wasn't happy with Joseph. Wise men and rulers knew of Jesus' birth. The demons were trembling. Satan is enraged. All of hell is allied against Jesus. But when the day finally arrives for the Savior and the King of all kings to be born, Luke records, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy from 700 years earlier, with these words in Luke 2:11, today's the day, it's finally here. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a what? A baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Verse 13 says, suddenly. And what is the first thing that happens when Jesus' birth is announced? The Bible says a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, now watch what he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look around, peace at Christmas seems to be a paradox of some sort. With all the shopping and the stores and the stress and the office parties and the decorations and the malls and the parking, I heard about two men that were on the eastern seaboard. They dropped their wife off at the mall, and the two guys went sailing. And while they were out at sea, there was a storm that came up, and it was a vicious storm. And the waves were coming over the boat, and finally the boat capsized. And they were literally hanging on for their life, and they didn't think they were gonna make it. And one of the guys turns to the other guy and says these words, this sure beats shopping at the mall. There are three things about peace. Number one, peace at Christmas, the peace of Christmas is not the absence of trouble. Because we know that Jesus came, and we know the Bible says he's the Prince of Peace, but everywhere we turn, we see trouble. Just this week, on one day, I looked up some headlines, and here's what I read. This happened this week, on the same day, these headlines. Nazi symbols were carved into a Beverly Hills menorah on the first night of Hanukkah. Next thing I read, Kremlin says there's no chance of peace with Kyiv after Zelensky's Washington trip. And then I read destruction, tears, and tenacity in California town battered by earthquake. There was an earthquake this week in Northern California, pretty bad one. Number four, I read Christmas week blizzard will become a bomb cyclone. I've never even heard that phrase. Snarling holiday travelers in life-threatening conditions. How many of you glad you're not traveling right now? How many of you glad about that? Then I read this one. Philadelphia records 500 homicides for second year in a row, a tragic milestone as the gun violence crisis continues. And then here's the last one. I laughed at this one. Americans can tolerate less than 4 hours with family on holidays, survey says. And for some of you, it's even less. And so we ask, where is the peace? We think of peace as simply the absence of trouble. Peace in the Bible is rooted in this Hebrew word, shalom. Everybody say shalom. Now, most of you know that this is a Hebrew word for peace. But shalom in the Bible, the Hebrew word, is a concept of well-being and wholeness. I want you to think of a rebuilt wall. Imagine a wall that had fallen to the ground and had fallen to pieces, and a mason came and picked those bricks up one by one and literally rebuilds that wall until that wall is completely restored. And when all of those bricks are all put back into place and the wall is restored, that is shalom. It's the wall has been made whole. And a life without shalom is a life that is broken down into many pieces, where nothing fits and nothing seems to make sense. In fact, for some of you this very moment, you feel like your life is in shambles and you're being pulled in all these different directions. And the Bible is telling us is that when Jesus arrives, that he is our shalom. He's the one that will put our broken and messy lives back together again, and he will. And there are many people here today, if you gave them time, they could share with you how God put their life back together. And if you're here today, and I just want to say this, and right now things are bad in your life and you have no peace and nothing seems to be making sense, I say to you, come to Jesus and come to Jesus today. He will make your life whole. He will give you purpose. He'll put your life back together again. Which leads me to the second thing about the peace of Christmas. The peace of Christmas is not the absence of trouble. Peace is having the presence of God. The entire story of Christmas involves knowing, having, and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you can have a peace and a security even in the midst of trials and the tribulations of this world. Every year at Christmas time, it's usually the only time we sing these songs, these Christmas carols. One such carol is called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you know this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What's the next line say? Glory to the newborn King. The next line, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners conciled. Everything you really need to know about Christmas is in that song right there. Jesus came to reconcile sinners to God the Father. You see, because sin is what breaks our relationship with God. We sin and that causes this division. And God sends Jesus to bridge that gap between us and God. The Bible says in John 14, Jesus said these words. He said, my peace I give to you. Ephesians 2:14, Paul said, Jesus himself is our peace. And Romans 5:1 says, since we have been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about our hearts and our lives being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You see, everything in this world is broken, and it's broken because of sin. Sin ruins everything. And even things in this world that might appear there's some peace right here, or you see it, you think, well, that's a peaceful situation. It's only temporary. It seems like it never lasts. Oh, you have a job? You got a job? Good. Well, eventually you're gonna lose that job, then what? You have health, you're sitting here right now, you got good health? Oh, I'm happy you got good health. But there will come a time where you're gonna lose that health, then what? Right now you say you don't have any problems, that's good, but what happens when problems arise? Christmas is that supernatural event where there's a miracle laying in the straw or the hay of the manger. And that baby is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God who left heaven, who came to this world. He's the Prince of Peace. He came in the form of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and you name him as your Savior, he comes into your heart, he comes into your life, and his literal presence dwells within you. And even in a world that is upside down and spiraling out of control, you can still have peace, a peace that passeth all understanding because of Jesus Christ. You know, you've seen this. You've seen this little quote, if you don't know Jesus, then you don't know peace. But if you know Jesus and he's your Lord and your Savior, then you have peace. Amen. My third point is this: the peace of Christmas enables. Everybody say the word enables. It enables us to have peace with one another. You see, whenever I have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and if you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, it enables you and I to get along. What's sad is this Christmas, where Jesus came to give us peace, there are couples here tonight that are arguing and fighting with one another, not getting along. There are siblings here today that don't talk to other siblings, not getting along with each other. There are people who work at jobs or businesses not getting along with other employees. What's really sad are parents who don't get along with their children and children who don't get along with their parents, or neighbors who don't get along with their neighbors. And whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, or whether it's nations and countries, Jesus came to put peace in my heart, and he came to put peace in your heart. And if we both have Jesus, we can therefore get along with each other. We should. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since we're members of one body. You were called to peace. Today, this Christmas Eve, all over the world, it is estimated that there are 2.2 billion people who will gather all around the world, every nation under the sun. That's 30% of the earth's population. That number is staggering. And people this night are gathered to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you have seen what we would call a traditional nativity scene. And you know, nativity scene in a sense reflects the culture of the people who live in that culture and who know who Jesus Christ is. Native Americans in the United States or in Canada would depict the birth of Jesus in this manner. Our neighbors in Mexico would have a nativity scene that looks like this. In India, this Christmas, this is how Christmas looks to them, which is totally different than a nativity scene from people who live in Africa, which is different than the nativity scene for those who live in Asia, because the story of Christmas connects every culture to Jesus Christ. Even the millennials have their own nativity scene. They have their Segways, their Amazon boxes, and Mary and Joseph are taking a selfie. My favorite nativity scene comes from my 5-year-old grandson. And he doesn't know much. Can't write, can't read. But a 5-year-old boy knows enough about Christmas to make a little nativity scene. And if you look at that little yellow thing there at the top on the floor, there's a little square. That's baby Jesus. And he gathers all his toys around and centers them around that nativity scene because, again, Jesus is the focal point. He's the one that brings us all together. And nations from every country under the sun. Amen. I want to go back to that verse in Luke 2. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And that night, not all the shepherds, but those particular shepherds, God's favor was upon them. That he enabled them to hear the story and to see and to believe. And that couple that night, Mary and Joseph, just a young couple, not all couples, but that couple that night, Mary and Joseph, God's favor, God's grace was upon them. Because God enabled them to see, to hear, to believe. And I believe today, if you're here and you don't have peace in your life and all this craziness has gotten inside of you and you're as chaotic as the world, then you don't have Jesus in your heart. But I'm here to tell you that if you hear this story and you understand the story and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, oh, he will give you a peace that the world will never understand. But wherever you go, you'll sense and feel that presence within you. And Jesus is the one who, again, will bring us together. Amen? Amen and amen. Well, we're gonna light the candles because that's why you came. Amen? So let me just tell you what's gonna happen. First of all, I feel like I have to be the Grinch through part of this, but do not take a lighter and light your candle, okay? First of all, why do you even have a lighter? And if you do that, we're just gonna take you and we're gonna throw you in the baptistry because, no, we're not gonna do that, but I have one candle up here. And we have some people who've been designated. If you've not been designated, just stay where you are. But the designated people, come on up. And I'm going to light this candle off of this candle, hopefully. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to light this candle. They're going to go back to their area. This takes a minute, but it's cool. And let me show you how to do this real quick, if you look here. Don't take your lit candle and turn it upside down to light this. Leave this one like that and take the one that's not lit and turn it sideways or upside. That's how you do it. So say, Pastor, thank you so much for explaining that to me. Light the one right behind you too there, okay? Oh, you guys are doing good. Thank you, Mike. Everybody good? All right, just wait another minute here. I think you did better tonight than the group last night. Those people weren't, they didn't have their act together like you folks here tonight. Oh, look at that balcony. You know how many chairs are in here? Right at 3,500. I want you to take that candle, raise it above your head so you can see all the light around the room. Now, we mention this every Christmas Eve. This is why we do this. All this came off of this one candle. And I understand many of us being discouraged about what's going on in the world around us. But this is how the church and you and I as believers make a difference in this city and in this world. The light and love, grace and mercy, God's favor that rests upon you, that you take that message of salvation and you share it with the person next to you who shares it with the person next to them. And together, we can see God moving in this city. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of verses of Silent Night. Let's sing together. Michael?
Silent night.
Let's all sing. Come on.
Holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior. Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Father, I just pray your blessing on every man, woman, boy, and girl who's here today. And Father, as our hearts are touched with this scene of the light and the candle being passed from person to person, may we realize that true joy and true peace, true fulfillment, salvation, truth, grace, mercy, that it all comes from you. And if there's anyone here today, God, who does not have that light, they don't have that grace, they don't have that peace, help them to come today and bow to that child, bow to the Son of the living God, the King of all kings, the one who came, Emmanuel, who died on that cross to reconcile us to you. Help us, Father, to put our faith, our hope, our trust, our belief in you and you alone, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Now, I need you to blow that candle out. Uh-huh. See how quickly you can do that. See how quickly you can do that. Girls, don't make me call you out in front of the whole church, all right? Oh, look at you all. Oh, no. I can walk up those stairs. Do we have any adult supervision up there? Okay. Oh, let me wish you a Merry, Merry Christmas. And I hope you have a blessed, blessed new year. And there's some trash receptacles out in the lobby. You drop these off. Be extra careful that you don't spill the wax because someone has to pick all that up. And just be thankful that's not your job. Amen. God bless you and thank you for coming. Have a blessed and Merry Christmas.